of Wilde and Tausch begins now. Now, before we get to more texts, we were texting with Brian Bulaga on Friday, and there were some, let's just say, challenging names that went before the Packers picked. So he acknowledged that he lucked out on that front. Edgerrin Cooper, unless he called him Edgerrin James, he was not going to have trouble with that. What he did face was a bit of a hostile crowd. Here is Brian Bulaga striding to the podium to announce the first of the Packers' 2 second-round draft choices in Detroit on Friday.
I don't.
NFL legend Brian Legend Bulaga.
They're not saying Bulaga, guys. They're just saying boo.
Detroit, thank you for the warm welcome. With the 45th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft.
So, first of all, I love the fact that he was doing like the Dr. Dave Margolis at a Bucks game, encouraging the Lions fans to boo some more. Secondly, NFL legend is very high praise, and he's a legend on our show for sure. But third, you were goading, not gouda-ing, him, wanting him to go off script. You were nudging him pretty good, both on the air and behind the scenes. So, thank you for that warm welcome, Detroit. Not bad. Made me smile. What did you think of his going off script? Because he told us that they were discouraging him from doing so when we talked to him late in the week.
Yeah, I mean, if you listened or watched to any of the Legends drafting players in the second round, nobody read straight from the card. Everybody added a little something, and you don't know when you're going to get back up there. So throw a sprinkler, and I'm not saying go into, I don't know if it was Daryl Green. One of the guys went real long.
Yes, Daryl Green.
They started getting into a soliloquy.
Uh-huh.
Now, keep it under 30 seconds, but you can have a little fun with it. And I think you got 700,000 fans up there. They want to be entertained. They want to have a moment. Hey, I have Bulaga crushed it. And the fact that they're booing him, he embraced it. And it, from a Packer fan standpoint, that's what they should do. We've been eating their lunch for 25, 30 years. They should boo Packers. And when you do, you embrace it, and you take it on, and then you pronounce it properly. I thought Brian crushed it, and I'm glad he didn't just go up there with the card and said, oh, with the second pick, we're going to grab Edgerrin Cooper. He had some fun with it. Well done, Blue. Well done.
All right, so a question, because I was a little busy on Friday night. I did not see the selection of Javon Bullard. Did he announce it again? Jesse, did you see it?
Yes, he did both.
That's a Jesse question.
Yes, he did. He did do both. The Bucks were also in overtime, I think, at that point. So it was a little.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot happening. I am very confident that Bulaga announced both picks, but I cannot say with absolute certainty.
So then why'd you say yes when I first asked you?
I don't know if this is correct, but I'm pretty sure it is, in the words of Nick and Juana Key. I'll confirm now once I go take a look here.
Okay. Well, don't take a look now, because I'd like to get a couple more text messages done before we play trivia next. Jesse, what else jumped out at you, and are you fairly certain or 100% certain you have more text messages?
Where I'm very certain. Shiloh in California. I think we absolutely owned the free agent and draft market inefficiencies for running back, linebacker, and safety. They weren't great classes, but we drafted top players, and the Jacobs and McKinney contracts are big up front, but relatively easy to dump after a year or two. I like it. It's from Shiloh.
Tausch?
I think it's a great point, and again, you remember New England in its heyday, were constantly able to stay a step ahead by doing some things different, going tight ends and fullback. And you always are looking for You know, don't just follow what everybody else is doing. Look for some inefficiencies. And this year, I think Goody, realizing that it was going to be such a run on offensive players. And again, the Jordan Love draft pick that I didn't like at the time, timing-wise, new contract for Rodgers, all of the things that we've went over ad nauseum, he knew what he was doing. And he had his plan that he had. And here we're looking at all of this defensive talent that he was able to accumulate over an offensive line, over the draft. O-line is always going to be in high demand. I think most of us thought at 25 he was going to go with one of those really big needs right away. But he understood, I don't go here. We're going to have a drop-off when we do go find that offensive tackle that we want to be a part of our future. So understanding the entire thing, but the inefficiency, especially at off-the-ball linebacker and at safety, where you still see some teams invest, other teams have stuck with the Packers approach from 5-6 years ago where it's just get me somebody that can make tackles. Goody has changed that, and now because they're still older, there's still teams that are still looking at in that old-school way of thinking. And I would guess if Edgerrin Cooper balls out and is the impact player that we all hope he is, you're going to see more teams, especially Packer rivals and teams in our division, will start looking at this. And then next year what happens? Oh, we got to get our Edgerrin Cooper. Well, this guy's really a third-round pick, but I don't know if he'll be there, and we really need him. That's what I think Shiloh is trying to hit on, is you want to be ahead of the curve, not chasing constantly, which is typically what bad franchises do.
Right, and the other part of Shiloh's text is that, look, the free agent market was flooded with a lot of safeties. You got the best one, right? The running back market was flooded with a lot of running backs, and while I still would have liked to have seen Aaron Jones on this team, you got yourself 3 extra years of youth by swapping him out in favor of Josh Jacobs, and then you drafted a guy who could come in and be an impact player at that position in a running back class that wasn't very deep, and you got arguably the best safety at the bottom of the second round in a safety draft that wasn't that great. So to that, I think that's an excellent point. Now the question, of course, it's great to have these guys, and this is why we don't do immediate after the draft grades here. Bullard may not be good enough. We have to at least allow for that possibility. But now you've backed it up with two other guys who played the same conference that maybe one of those guys turns out to be really good if you're wrong on Bullard. And I'm not saying they're going to be wrong, but you got an Oregon guy and an Oregon State guy that if Bullard isn't the guy that you were hoping he was, then you've got another option.
Yeah, the other thing that I really, and Jason, how many of these 11, I want to say it was 6, were captains? Is that fair?
Yeah, it was around there. I asked Goody about that because it did feel like every time I was reading a bio, it said captain in it.
Yeah. What I love about that is you don't become a captain. And Lord knows we've seen some drama in Green Bay with both Jair and
Za'Darius Smith and his medallion. Yep.
You don't become a captain unless you're all about ball. Or if you're a starting quarterback. But you get voted captain because you love ball. And the players see it. And I think Goody really takes a lot of stock in that. And if the RAS score and the athleticism and all of that stuff matches and all things are equal, and, well, I love so-and-so and I love Bullard. Or I loved Morgan. He's a captain. That's one of those little things that you probably don't think is that big a deal, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it's the best indicator of love and ball. Because everybody will get up there and say, does this guy love ball? Because this job is too hard to not love it. And if you don't, there's a lot of guys that want to get paid, want to be first one in, or last one in, first one out. Just, hey, let's get this. I want to be an NFL player, but I don't really want to grind like you have to. That does not happen very often with captains, and I think you saw Don't know the exact number. I want to say I thought it was six. That's half of your draft class as captains. That's pretty impressive.
All right, Jesse, one more text before we get to trivia.
Neil in Arkansas. My favorite draft pick is Edrin Cooper. He demolished the Razorbacks this past year. This is great Arkansas insight. With two sacks and six total tackles. He was all over the entire field, side to side, dominating, disrupting almost every play. I was thinking slash hoping he would play for the Packers. Voila! It happened. Go Pack Go. Jason, good article and analysis today on the Total Draft. Hope you get some sleep.
Hey, thanks, Neil.
Aw, it's nice of Neil. Worried about your sleep, REM.
We're having a good day today.
REM cycle, all that good jazz.
Yeah, look, it is a fascinating class. I did break it down. You can find that on Madison.com. But there's, look, I think it's fascinating that they went with 11 picks. And Goody was a man of his word. Right? He wanted it. He started with 11. It ballooned to 13. He used those picks to then trade up to get a couple of guys he liked. But 11, 13, 11. Those are the Packers' last three draft classes. 35 picks. No team has picked as many players as the Packers have over the last three drafts. Competition, competition, competition. We just kept hearing that word over and over again. And the Bears, you know, back to our buddy Danny's point. That's great. They've improved their team. They have five picks. Five. Those third day picks, that's where you really find your diamonds in the rough and where you replenish your depth on your roster. And they didn't do that. Not saying that that makes it a bad draft for the Bears, but I think that's really important. And I've seen too many guys on day three be good players.
It reminds me of the Barry Alvarez quote, basically on walk-ons, and that is they're the human erasers. Everybody thinks Morgan and Cooper and Bullard and Lloyd and Hopper and Williams are going to be really good players.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thinks it. But let's say they're not, and all of a sudden, Oladapo. Or if you get King. Those late picks, they can erase
mistakes.
There's no bigger eraser than Brock Purdy. He is the great eraser.
Yep.
John Lynch and old boy probably, I don't know if they get fired because everybody loves him, but if they don't get Brock Purdy right, they give up three first-rounders for a guy that they trade for a fourth-round pick and are sitting there with Jimmy Garoppolo trying to chase a championship on a roster that's stacked.
Yeah.
Human eraser, seventh-round pick. Yeah. That was what was nice about this King. Everybody's raving about what might be. Well, hopefully, that'll work.
Right.
But you want to hit on your front. You're not going to on all of them, and that's why more cracks at it makes sense. I just was a little curious because you've done the 11, 13, 13. That's a lot of young players, but that's obviously Goody's MO, and I think that ain't going to change because you have a taste of success with things. You're not going to change course very often.
Yeah, and look, I don't want to make Carrington Valentine sound like he's Darrell Revis, but last year's seventh round corner started 14 games, including two playoff games. And when your first round pick from 2021 barely played in Eric Stokes, and your first round pick from 2018 and your two-time second team All-Pro missed 9 games with injury and 1 game with a suspension for conduct detrimental, you better have a guy. And again, I'm not saying that Carrington Valentine is going to be an All-Pro. But you saw with Tremont Williams as an undrafted free agent, right? Those are the guys that when you hit, it's a huge bonus. And it makes up for where you miss elsewhere. And we'll see if that turns out to be the case with this draft. We need to play some trivia. Jesse, what do you got for today's category, and what caller would you like?
All right, so a couple housekeeping things. First, I can confirm Brian Bulaga did announce the Javon Bullard pick on Friday night, so we got both.
Appreciate you guessing
we
right.
We got that. Second of all, we didn't pick our winner on Friday.
Oh.
Yeah, we didn't pick a winner.
How'd that happen?
We had Marco Siki come on for Feel Good Friday. We were talking about the Bucks game at 4:30 in the afternoon.
That was a great game.
We got distracted. Yeah, that was a great game. We got distracted. So we got to pick a winner. And now we have to go back to 0 weeks without trivia incident. So that's a shame, but had a good run. So here is our winner for last week's trivia. Number three. Jeff in Monroe. Nice win.
Oh boy, Jeff.
you can sell the items in your ESPN Wisconsin prize pack to pay for that wedding. All right. So now, Jesse, what's today's category and what caller do you want?
Per usual, it is the sports weekend recap. The Packers had 11 draft picks. Let's do 11.
Caller 11 right now, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776, caller 11 to play Wilde and Tausch Trivia, the sports weekend recap. We will play next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
Trivia in a second. I just got a text from a college buddy of mine who listens to the show, who's from Chicago. I can't believe you guys aren't afraid of the Bears. Look at what they did. Look, I understand this was an unpopular opinion when I said it. For all those times people claim that I'm a fan, I just won't admit it. This was one of those moments that I think should tell you that I'm not. And that is that I want Caleb Williams to be good. I want the Bears to be relevant. I think it's way more fun if that historic rivalry has both teams be good at the same time. That's what I want from a story perspective. And yeah, Caleb Williams, can't miss prospect. First of all, I get very nervous when someone is called a can't miss prospect. So we'll see if he makes sure that he doesn't miss. And yes, they got a great wide receiver group now with two veterans and a top 10 pick. And they've fixed their offensive line. But until they actually do it, I don't think Packers fans should be afraid of them. That's all. Once they do it, you want to start worrying about the Bears? I hope you do. I hope you have to worry about the Bears. Because as a storyteller, I want that historic rivalry to be two really good teams. I want to see them playing in another NFC championship game I guess the Bears will have their stadium at some point down on the lakeshore. But I want to see them playing in a playoff game again. I think that was cool. And you guys beat them and you went to the Super Bowl. But I'm not scared of them now.
Yeah, I think I understand that. But yeah, there's still a lot of question marks. And
yes.
Anytime you get a young quarterback, yeah, you could be excited. You should be. If I'm a Bears fan, I'm excited.
Yeah.
That things can change and that it might be different. But I would still worry a little bit if I was pulling hard for them. I still think both lines of scrimmage are not anywhere near as good as what Green Bay has.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why you're going to continue to see the same results that we've seen the last 8-9 years.
All right, let's play some trivia. I'm guessing that this first-time contestant probably has a Bears fan or two in his circle because he lives in Janesville. And there's a lot of Bears fans in Janesville. Let's talk to Corey in Janesville. Corey, good morning. How are you? Do you have Bears fan friends?
No, they all been kicked out.
Oh, okay, good. You got rid of them. Well, they're very excited, even though you've kicked them out of your friendship circle. Are you ready to play trivia?
Yes, sir.
All right. The sports weekend recap is the category. The first question goes to the Packers Hall of Famer.
All right, Corey, how many runs did the Yankees score in wins on both Saturday and Sunday against the Brewers? Is it 11, 15, or a buck 50? Nope, that was Jesse's low game of bowling yesterday. Oh, my God.
It's very low.
Yeah, not very good.
Boy, we're going to go with B.
Good decision.
Nailed it.
15 runs. I think yesterday, Jesse, there was a questionable call. Aaron Judge.
There was a questionable call. Yeah.
Which they admitted they blew.
Uh-huh.
And then on Saturday, the Yankees put up 15, and the Brewers had a position player pitching by the end of the game.
They just got trounced on Saturday. Yeah, but 11-inning walk-off on Friday night. That was the fun one.
All right. Corey, you're one for one. Let's do question two here. Which NBA team's head coach left a playoff game in the final 2 minutes over the weekend due to an injury after an inadvertent collision with one of his own team's players. Was it the coach of the Orlando Magic, the coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder, or the coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves?
Boy, oh boy. Timberwolves.
So, Jesse, I don't know. I mean, I don't think Chris Finch listens to our show. But the fact that we pose that as the coach of insert team here, does that tell you where we're at with our NBA coverage on Wilde and Tausch?
I mean, I asked you guys last week who What's-His-Face is, the coach of Oklahoma City. He won Coach of the Year in a landslide last night. So, yeah, I mean, these obscure Western Conference head coaches, yeah, sorry, we don't know who they are. I was looking at...
Well, in fairness, Chuck didn't know either who the coach of the year was.
That's fair, yes.
He covers the NBA for a living, so...
True. I was watching the Suns-Timberwolves game last night, and I'm looking at the... They kept showing... I was watching it on mute, and I kept and they kept showing the Suns head coach. I'm like, I know who that is. Who is that? I could see his family. I'm like, who is that? Frank Vogel. And he might not be the coach much longer.
Sounds like it was a mute point. Jesse... Thank you. Tausch, question three.
All right, Corey, who is this year's Mr. Irrelevant, the final player selected in the 2024 draft? Tough question.
Yeah.
Is it Cornelius Johnson, Jalen Key, or Ladarius Henderson?
I watched the whole thing, but the end. I'm going to guess Johnson.
The perfect week is over early. Jesse, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know the answer either. And I also don't know if Cornelius Johnson and Ladarius Henderson are real people or made-up names surrounding Jalen Key, who is the correct answer.
That is a great question, Jason. They are both real seventh-round draft picks who were taken just before Jalen Key went as Mr. Irrelevant.
And Kalen King was the third-to-last pick, right? He was 255. Jalen Key was 257. All right,
so
Corey.
Second-to-last is penultimate. We love that word. Yeah. What's third-to-last?
I don't know. And I tried to find... I was looking for the word in my story today, and it didn't... I never found it, so I just said third-to-last, which wasn't ideal. All right, Corey, you got 2 out of 3. That means you got 3 of the possible 4 entries into the drawing, which we may do on Friday or we may do next Monday. Who the heck knows? Thanks for playing. I hope you enjoyed your first turn at Wilde and Tausch Trivia.
Thank you.
All right, that is trivia. Jalen Key. Who is Jalen Key, Jesse? Do you know who he is?
Safety from Alabama. Went to the New York Jets.
Alabama safety. He'll be Braylon Allen's teammate.
Which, by the way, my favorite fact from the draft, Braylon Allen was 16 months old when Aaron Rodgers was drafted by the Green Bay Packers.
Wow.
And then actually, that is really good, actually.
Probably still squatting a bunch, though, too. Big squat guy, Braylon Allen.
And then he played against Rutgers a year later. Yeah.
It's not bad. That wasn't bad. That's pretty good. All right, that's it for trivia. Whoa, Nelly! Where you'll get more gems like that, hopefully. I figured that was a... Were you worried about not getting that into Wonelli, so you wanted to get it in early in case you forgot?
I wanted to make sure we got that first, because rumor has it there's a special guest scheduled to appear as part of Wonelli today.
Really?
Wow.
I'm intrigued.
Tier 1 Tyler?
No.
Mark Osiki?
Even more of a clown than Tier 1 Tyler.
Oh, that sounds like a hint. All right.
Tease.
We'll find out who that clown is next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
Turn our back around.
reason to do Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta say, hungry fella can send that.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Woe Nelly!
On Wildy and Tausch.
Well, on Friday afternoon, the Milwaukee Bucks fell to the Indiana Pacers in Game 3 of their Eastern Conference playoff series.
Just like I just fell tripping over a garbage can coming back to the microphone.
Oh.
Not good.
You all right there?
Yeah, no, I'm all right.
Lunchbox in a tree?
Not nearly that severe, and fortunately no surveillance cameras in the basement.
And then last night, with Damian Lillard and Giannis both out, the Bucks fall 126-113 to the Indiana Pacers. It's now a 3-1 series lead for Indiana, which has prompted a special appearance.
Oh, no.
Or Bucks choking season for Dunzo! A tradition unlike any other in late April, the draft, the Masters, and the Bucks losing in round one!
Hey, Dunzo, you can't say this is a choke job, can you?
They don't have their best players, and Bobby Portis got ejected after 6 minutes yesterday, which is almost as long as Adrian Griffin was the head coach.
Oh, my gosh.
Dang.
Is this, what are you, Don Rickles?
I'm actually going to take a little different view on this. I thought the Bucks were going to get beat regardless in this series. And what I saw, I thought Friday night was as gritty and as
totally
gutty
agree.
Of a performance as this team. I think they deserve a lot of attaboys. And Chris Middleton, God bless him, I think he is on the downward slide.
I agree.
He can't stay healthy. He's missing all kinds of time, really the last two seasons. But he showed his nut hawack the other day. The last 2 days.
I don't love that phraseology.
What he's been able to do and show he still can score when he needs to and he's healthy. Unfortunately, it's just not enough of that. Mm-hmm. But these guys can't guard. I mean, the pick and roll, you know, just give up layup after layup. And the supporting cast, it's not athletic enough. And that was the concern coming into it. And it's still the concern. But what we saw the last two games, I thought, showed a lot about the character and the makeup of the group. They're just not good enough. It shouldn't be some huge surprise when you're playing the Pacers, who beat you this year when you were healthy. You're not healthy, and you're missing your two best, and then your sixth man of the year candidate, as you said, gets thrown out of the game early. You're just not going to beat this team. And for them to hang in the way they did, and Brolo, what he did, and Chris, and tip the cap, but yeah, this thing, Dunzo's here for a reason. Dunzo's going to be right. I don't know if, I hope we get one more, force him to go back to Indy, but I would be, I just don't know. With no Giannis, no Dame, probably means no advancing in this year.
I think a nut whack is what got Bobby Portis ejected last night.
Actually hit him in the face, but
I
kind of like that line. That was pretty good. All right, Tausch.
Jesse's having a good day today, isn't he?
He's off to a strong start, yeah. Here's my problem, other than now spilling my coffee. I'm really in trouble over here.
Just like the Bucks.
You're welcome for setting that one up for you. I talked to somebody yesterday who knows a lot about the Bucks. And he is convinced that Giannis is going to play on Tuesday. And I told this person, then again, he doesn't know that for certain. It wasn't Doc Rivers. It wasn't Giannis's doctor. That scares the bejesus out of me. Because I can't get past the same injury as KD. KD pushes himself to get back for the NBA Finals and ruptures his Achilles. Now you got your two biggest stars, and I don't know what the future holds for Damian Lillard, and I believe in the nut whack concept, and God bless you if you are saying, I think I can go, so I'm going to go. But God almighty, if something bad happens to Giannis because he pushes it to play in a series that they're down 3-1, and it doesn't sound like Lillard is coming back in this series, I'm sorry. Does someone not have to protect him from himself just to be safe? That is my... I don't know if it's going to happen or not. But if that
is... How good is your source?
You know, he's a good friend. Someone I trust.
Is he a good source?
Yeah, I think he's... Again, he cannot... He's not someone who would report he is definitely playing. But he believes... He believes that Giannis wants to play, and my question is, does he have to protect Giannis?
Giannis wants to play? That's when you write these headlines in the State Journal, and this might happen. He's either going to... If he plays tomorrow
I'm trying to protect people here. That's all I'm trying to do.
Yeah, but you said something super provocative, and now you basically backpedaled to the point where it's like, well...
No, it's because you couldn't just leave it alone. I didn't do this to you when we were talking about Rodgers.
You just said you talked to somebody.
Right, but then you got into the box and whatever else. What are you doing?
Go this is a big deal.
Yesterday,
if Giannis plays, all of a sudden hope is like, oh my gosh, we can still do this.
Even
if he
without Lillard,
there's no hope. Yes,
still not going to win three games in a row. Even if he does play,
I venture to say Jesse will probably be right. But, yeah, you just said something, and my ears perked up like, wow, that's interesting. Real interesting.
Well, I never said he's right. Definitely going to play. What I said was, is that there's a feeling that he's going to play. He wants to play, and that he will play. And my concern is should someone tell him not to play?
And again, my concern is, who is telling you this? Because that's fascinating
and
news.
You're doing it again. Stop. I'm not going to tell you who it is.
I'm not asking you to tell me.
Let me ask you this.
I didn't ask you.
Let me ask you this.
I didn't ask.
Hey, no.
Hold
such
up a second.
No, you.
Whoa, Nelly.
Would I have brought it up if it came from some Yahoo whose opinion or whose knowledge I didn't trust?
Lenny on Twitter.
No, but.
Right, so then why do you keep asking who it is?
Because, Jesse, when you heard Jason say that, did your ears not perk up?
I got perked, yes.
Right, yes! So just let your ears perk and shut the hell up!
Yes, sir.
Who is it? Well, who is it?
Put your org.
Well, who told you
that? I never asked who it was. I know you well enough to know that you're not going to tell me who it was, but I want to know if it's Frankie from Wales or if it's someone that is dialed in. It's like, yeah, I think
Wales.
He's playing. Okay.
I wouldn't have brought it up if it wasn't someone whose information I would trust. Now, it doesn't sound 100% guarantee.
After you talk to this person, do you now believe Giannis is going to play tomorrow?
I think he's more likely to play than not, unless someone steps in and says, hey, no, we're not doing this.
Okay.
No, it's too, we got to manage the risk here. We're not winning the NBA title.
All fair points. Worst case scenario, none of us even want to bring it up or talk.
Right! That's what I'm saying.
But if he can play and he's healthy, I want to see him out there. And I want to see him find a way to win and then get this thing to six and see what we can do.
No, I'm sorry. I'm out on that. Especially, it's pretty clear that Lillard's not going to play. Right?
Correct.
Speaking of not wanting to rupture your Achilles.
I don't want him to rupture anything either.
Right.
Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly!
Wish that would have happened a little earlier.
Yeah, it's too bad. That's it for Woe Nelly.
So, Jesse, I have... do we have a read here or can I tease something?
You can tease.
I want to tease for tomorrow's show. Over the weekend...
For tomorrow?
Wait, we're not doing today's show.
I understand, but I want to preemptively throw this
out. So you're teasing something for tomorrow's show, but you're not teasing it at the end of today's show. You're teasing it before the end of today's show?
Yes. That's exactly what I'm doing. I got in a really fun little conversation, so much so...
With who?
That Who's I felt... Exactly. Romy. My old buddy Romy. I was so confident in this that I was willing to bet him whatever amount up to within reason that a certain player was going to get their number retired. I'll bring up whom and how much, and if you guys would agree with me, we'll do that next to close up the show. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
All right, old tease.
Yeah,
tell us. You teased.
Okay,
thought you'd bring us back.
So, oh, I didn't know. I know you get very sensitive when I.
Yes,
tease
I'm very
out
territorial.
Like
yeah.
So,
yeah,
you are, and I get it. I understand it. So I was having a discussion over the weekend about numbers being retired and everything else.
Who is this Romy person?
It's just a buddy of mine. So we were discussing it, and he's a Bucks guy. He likes the Bucks. And I said, well, Chris, and this was even, I don't even know how much attention we were paying to the game Friday night. But I said it, and I was like, well, Chris Middleton's 100% getting his number retired. And he's like, there's no blanking way he gets his number retired. So I said, all right, whatever you want, let's go. More than happy. Let's put a little wager on it, right? Let's put a little wager on it. Let's see how it goes. And then we had a different wager. Had a couple Coors Lights, so it was flowing. And is there any chance that Chris Middleton's number is not hanging from the rafters at Fiserv? Am I crazy to make this bet and feel this confident about it?
Yeah, I... Again, let me consult with my nameless Bucks expert and see what they say. I always feel like he has long been the most underappreciated piece of these great teams. So I guess I can't see him not getting his number retired.
You don't think so? You think right now, all things, he doesn't get his number? I just think people
are you
don't
asking
understand.
Me? Let me wait a minute. Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Are you asking me if he should get it retired or if he
no.
will? Because he will. I would agree that he should. I'm not convinced that he will.
Yeah, I am very convinced that.
I hope you're right.
And I'll be shocked if he doesn't. I was actually shocked. I wasn't appalled, but I was shocked that we even were having this conversation. I started wondering if Brooke Lopez plays three more years. Does he get his number retired? I'm telling you, when you think Drew Holiday's going to get his number retired? I don't.
No.
But I bet you think he should. Winning a championship gets you another spot. And Chris Middleton has been around a while. He's going to end up being one of the leading scorers. I just see no way that he doesn't get it. And that's why I made it.
I'm always leery of the phrase, I don't see any way blank doesn't happen. Right?
I know.
On my bus ride to Super Bowl 32. I believe he deserves it. He was a huge piece. Their big three were Drew, Giannis, and him. They didn't retire 34 for Ray Allen. I know he didn't win a title, but he was a great player.
Dinner here.
They have retired numbers for people who have done a lot less than Chris Middleton's done, though.
I agree.
I'll be shocked. I'll be more than happy to buy a lunch, but man, I feel like I'm going to win this bet.
Michael Redd also wore number 22 and retired for him either. Just saying. All right. Well, that's our. We can have this debate tomorrow.
Is getting it. Giannis will be retired. Giannis is getting retired.
Unless if Romy wants that bet, you let him know.
We're going to need yesterday's pancakes really big time tomorrow.
I am
tomorrow.
Not feeling as good as I thought I would when I brought this up to you guys. I thought you guys were going to say, you're crazy. What is Romy even thinking?
And Ricky Pierce also wore number 22. All right, we'll get into this tomorrow with the one-day-ahead tease. Thanks for coming along for the ride with us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.